The international break didn't feel that bad while it was happening, but now league football is back, we know it was actually total rubbish. This week on the Koshcast. Sterling fails at giving a good interview to the BBC, then fails his interview for a job at Arsenal as the Gunners thrash Liverpool. Kane is no longer an ordinary citizen, United batter Villa like an Easter fish, and Charlie Adams serves the chips at Chelsea. Elsewhere, Burnley speaks a bit of German as we report from Der Klassiker, Roma surprise everyone by winning a game, and Toronto FC surprise nobody by capitulating from a winning position. It's the Koshcast, and it's all to play for. Welcome back to the Koshcast. League football is back, and so is something else. Everyone's parents. Rishay, your parents are back from India.
Yes, we watched the game together. It was great, yeah.
Very nice.
Oh, the United Aston Villa game.
Oh, your parents are United fans?
Well, they are now.
Yes!
Yes! I know.
Bernie, your parents are back? Or just your mum?
Just my mum. Arsenal fan.
She was in Holland?
Correct? She was in Holland, yes.
Very nice.
And an Arsenal fan.
Upsetting, I know.
Oh. And Mohanen, your mum's not quite back, but you've bought scented candles and stuff in preparation, right?
Yeah, I did some shopping, fixed some stuff around the house.
Quick trip to Canadian Tire.
Yeah, she's back next week.
Excellent. So,
yeah. Is a Malik fan?
Ahli, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, so she's the same Ahli as your mom in terms of like, being different. Yeah.
All glory supporting mums. Yeah. Apart from the Arsenal fan.
What about your mom, Alex?
Just wants me to enjoy football.
Oh, well, your dad's a Tottenham fan.
What
you're
a diplomatic answer.
Yeah, sure.
What a diplomatic answer, Alex.
Yeah, no.
But didn't they go to a game recently?
They went to Vancouver, as Rishay would call shite caps, against Portland Timbers. And saw Vancouver win.
Very nice.
But my dad describes the whole event as what does he call it? A food court with a game of football attached or something like that.
It's very commercial, isn't it?
Yeah. He wasn't impressed.
Sounds like the Bernabeu.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of the league is back, England this week gave us a lot of good games, a lot of brilliant goals, which we'll cover as we go through the games. Let's start with the top of the table, kind of the top seven. Arsenal Liverpool played. That was a big game of the week.
The first game of the week.
Yeah.
First game as well.
Arsenal just absolutely dominating that one 4-1 at the Emirates. Just four beautiful goals.
Yeah, try to contain your modesty over there. Let me take over for a neutral perspective. Yes, this was an absolutely dominant performance by the Gunners against Liverpool. Mm-hmm. I don't even think Liverpool were there in the first 10 minutes. There were like five shots on goal. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I love how Rishay said neutral, but he really hates Liverpool. So this is one bad really fast.
That's true. Well, it's interesting. Like, I was busy all weekend, unfortunately, and didn't get to see this live, but from what I was reading online, the first few minutes were Arsenal, and then it seemed to be all Liverpool for 10 minutes, and then as I was reading tweets saying, Arsenal really needs to respond to this, Liverpool are dominating, there were like three goals.
Oh yeah, no, exactly.
It was a chance that Sterling had where he missed, Markovic centered it to him, open goal, he missed it completely, and then after that, Arsenal scored three goals.
I don't know if Sterling missed it or Markovic was just useless at passing the
he
ball.
Was.
Well, either one. I think Sterling probably should have got there, but Markovic's pass was nonsense. If he was worth anything, he would have actually just shot instead of trying to pass
worth
anyway.
20 million, Ben.
Oh. Yeah.
100,000 a week.
Yeah.
He's not on 100,000.
He does 100 meters in like 11 seconds. So that's
yeah.
But yeah, Alex, you were right. Arsenal came out of the blocks straight off, took possession off a lot of the Liverpool defenders a couple of times, put him under a lot of pressure. Because Orla could have scored earlier, Ramsey, there was a couple of good chances. And then Liverpool started to grow back into the game. Mm-hmm. But then, I don't know, just Arsenal kind of snapped out of it and just came back with three really good goals.
Speaking of what you said in terms of putting pressure on them, it's the same thing that United did to Liverpool in the game before. And Liverpool mm-hmm. are the ones who are supposed to be known for being that pressing team in England. But two teams who have decided to just attack them at every chance that they get the ball, push them, and press them so they don't have time on the ball, have beaten them at their own game 2 weeks in a row.
It didn't help that you have defenders like Sako and Toure, who might be good defenders but are horrible on the ball. So Brendan Rodgers should be like, okay, my defenders aren't very good at keeping possession. Let's not play a possession-based game from the back. Emilio is horrible with his feet, too.
You made a good point about Liverpool losing possession because in the last two games they played, they have passed the ball to the opponents many times, countless times. But at the same time, they've got Gerrard suspended. Skrtel suspended for stupid stamp. They got injuries.
Sturridge.
Yeah, Sturridge is kind of like not in form right now. So they got a lot of things going against them. And coming into this game against Arsenal, which is a do-or-die game for their top four chances, the big Sterling saga in midweek was not the recipe that they needed.
No,
not helpful. And it was the whole thing was stupid. And Brendan Rodgers was clearly not happy about that interview. It wasn't sanctioned by Liverpool. Sterling didn't really say anything in the interview either. It was basically an hour long, him not saying anything.
Right.
Which is
stupid in itself because he shouldn't have said anything at all. It was ridiculous. But I think that the Sterling issue is a reflection of Brendan Rodgers' complete stupidity as the manager of Liverpool. He's the one that said, this is the best young player in Europe. So if he knows that players are getting paid 100,000, let's say like Luke Shaw, for instance, at United, and then you offer him 100,000, he's going to go, well, I'm the best young player in the world, apparently. Pay me more.
Yeah.
He's well justified.
At the same time, he's got four mouths to feed.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But guys, speaking of four, let's just go through the Arsenal goals really quickly. It started off with Bellerin with a beautiful, like, just composed, you know, the minute... I'm a pessimist, like I'm a bit cynical. The minute that went in, I went, Walcott couldn't have done that. You know, that's my first thought.
Yeah.
Right? It was a beautiful finish with the left foot.
He gave him a little drop of the shoulder, and it was ever so subtle, and Moreno just showed how useless.
Again, same Moreno's
mistake.
He just
gave him the shoulder, and then he was gone.
And Moreno didn't, like, it's not even that he was beaten by the shoulder, he beat himself. He showed him inside.
Exactly.
Like, he just stood there and showed him inside. Yeah. So,
second was Ozil's free kick. People say Mignolet could have done better. But it looks like, when I watched the replays, I didn't realize this live, but when I watched the replays, it looks like it was on purpose. Giroud and Mertesacker both stood there in the wall.
End of the wall.
And then they both kind of spun around at the minute Ozil tried. It looks like
it's a
training ground.
Fabulous strike by Ozil. Absolutely pinpoint. But Mignolet should never be beaten there because he sets his wall up to cover that other side. He stands in the middle. He's supposed to stand slightly to that side.
Yeah.
So you should not get beaten there. So Ozil did what he had to do when he was given, which was brilliant. But Mignolet did poorly.
He also did something he didn't have to do in the celebration. What is all this weird hand shit? That
he has an M. It's an upside down. Like, he holds his hand in an M and a Mizu. Like, he's trying to brand himself. That's what it is. It's not a gang
sign. His marketing team is the single worst.
So
bad.
I mean, granted, they've got a difficult job.
How do we market Ozil? But yeah, and then I think the third goal was Sanchez. This is all three goals.
The best goal of the best goal of the game by far.
Do you agree? Yeah, you think? Giroud's fourth was pretty good, to be honest.
The control, firstly to evade, was it
Touré?
That touch, fantastic.
Yes.
Then the strike after that. But again, Mignolet should have done better. It was, best goal of the game. Fantastic strike. Not trying to take anything away from Sanchez. But Mignolet was crap.
Also of a possession recovery from a loose ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that's true. And Bellerin just pinged it into Ramsey, who realized he has tons of space, turned, and then gave it. Like, it was a great goal.
But you know what I observed? All four goals are amazing. Three of them went in the same side of the goal from the same angle. Except for the goal of the match, which was Sanchez's golazo.
But I think Giroud's goal, whether it was better or not than Sanchez, is one thing. But it was a goal that he wouldn't have scored last year. When we talk about Giroud's improvement year on year, I know clearly he's not world class, but this is a goal he simply wouldn't have scored a year ago or two.
I mean, Giroud was player of the month. Mm-hmm. Arsene Wenger was manager of the month, and I think deserved for Giroud. He's had a great month, including the game at Monaco. I mean,
that is literally it's a confidence goal. I say it all the time, but it's a confidence goal. Like you said, last season, never.
It was 3-1, and he's like, I want to get on the score sheet. I'm shooting from here.
I'm the player of the month. I'm going to do this.
Absolutely. Arsenal are actually looking very good.
Arsenal are the informed team of the league.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, just on Liverpool's case, they've got Blackburn midweek. I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday, the FA Cup replay.
Without Chan.
And if they lose that, I mean, I don't think they will, but if they lose that,
the
season is very much over.
Right now, they're 9 points away from fourth.
Yeah.
Assuming City win, they're 9 points away from
fourth. What are their suspensions looking at right now? How many matches did Gerrard get?
Gerrard has two more to go, and Chan has one.
Is that an immediate one?
Immediate one.
Yeah. So that's
he's not
big
playing Blackburn.
Anyways, moving on. I think, like we said, we did say if Liverpool lose this game, it's going to be very hard for them to come back in the top four. United trying to as well. I mean, United had one eye on this game because Villa, we all expected United to win, and it's the case of whether they're going to be that far away from Liverpool at the end of the game, and they were. Beat Villa 3-1. Again, more of a passing game from United as opposed to early in the season, which is more runners, more long balls. And this is why United are actually enjoyable to watch the last couple of games.
Definitely.
Regardless of the results.
Well, before we get into the actual dynamics of the game itself, when you mentioned the scheduling, yes, it is a very important barrier, which is like 8 points between fourth place and Liverpool right now. But at the same time, United have, I think they have Man City next, then Chelsea away, and then Everton away.
You got Arsenal as well,
and Arsenal right at the end of the season.
Arsenal's the penultimate game of the season.
Yeah. So I think this barrier, it looks good right now, but
I think you guys are looking up. You guys are looking up.
You're right. Things could definitely change, but that's why this stretch, these last three games, were so important. The way that they've gone with that 8-point cushion, things aren't really. They could change, but I don't see it. But the fact of the matter is, winning this game was almost as important as winning the Liverpool game.
Every game, yes,
because
it was,
that stretch that we're talking about, they've gone into it with absolute confidence. And we're talking about the passing game. What United were accused of doing before was pass with no end product. But now, with Rooney leading the line, opening up space for people to make runs into, they can actually play penetrating passes into the forward area. And that's what we see now. And it's so different. So
we also got some identities emerging in the team. I think Andujar in the center midfield position.
Blinda left back.
Controlling the game. Blinda left back, which he's been really good at, instead of that central midfield at the base of the diamond. And Fellaini as well.
True.
Big players.
Speaking of the scheduling, I was talking to my brother, and you know how you were saying everybody plays everyone? But the good thing about that is that it doesn't matter who wins. Like, as a neutral, if you're an Arsenal fan looking at the Chelsea United game, or a United fan looking at the Arsenal City game, it doesn't matter. Everything is a good result, almost. Like, a draw is a great result. One of the teams dropping points, it doesn't really matter at this point, right?
I'll say this about the game. Again, the first goal came from... There's a wonderful understanding between Ashley Young and David Blind. A wonderful understanding. Yeah. And I sort of feel bad for Luke Shaw, because I do think long-term Luke Shaw is more of a left-back than David Blind. But end of the day, when you have an understanding between two players, it's hard as a manager to say, you know what, this guy's better than you as a left back.
I really like so David Blind. But look, to me, David Blind and Luke Shaw are exactly like Monreal and Gibbs. One has the physical attributes, the running up and down, the attacking instinct. The other is the experienced, calm, doesn't lose possession guy. And that's exactly, I think that's more important sometimes.
I agree with you. And I'm just not sure if Van Gaal is going to see that long term. Right. But that's how Ander Herrera got his goal. And funny thing, that did you read about that? How LVG said that he kissed
Herrera. You have to have control of the ball before you shoot.
Control of the ball before you shoot, and he did that. So
and at the end of the game, he said, "Hey, boss, like I didn't have control of the ball, and I still scored."
Yeah,
the second goal. It's good that they can share some banter like that. But the thing that I loved, I mean, I love Ander Herrera. If I was gonna be a professional football player, that is the type of player I'd want to be.
Yeah.
But the thing, his third goal just cracked me up. For one reason, and that reason is Radamel. It was just, it was a microcosm of his United
career. Did it crack you up as much as Radamel's knee?
His knee probably did crack somewhere along that
line. Exactly. Good point. It was just a microcosm of his career at Man United. The move starts off, I think he was involved in the start of the move. He runs into a good position and promptly falls over as the ball would have been delivered to him. Then he gets up, puts himself in another good position, and then the pass is actually, I think it was intended for
him.
But he couldn't make it.
Yeah, he couldn't get it.
And then Herrera swoops in, and then Falcao's kind of, now he has to celebrate someone else's goal.
That's the thing, Falcao actually gets in very good positions. Means his career could be saved. But we can't leave this game without talking about Wayne Rooney.
Rooney's goal was fantastic.
To be
surprising
fair,
goal.
He tried to do a scissor kick thing in the first half that failed.
Yes.
So he probably thought, man, I gotta save this game today.
I seriously do not think that's his thought process. I think he luckily took that ball out the air.
There's no luck about that.
Once that ball was taken out of the air, he finished it.
The only reason he failed that side kick is because he tried to take it with his foot instead of his shin.
This is true.
And he's really good at
his shin. I tweeted that. He really should have shinned it. No, but the control of that, completely, like he knew exactly what he was doing, and then immediately swing. That is that's another thing, like the Giroud thing. That is pure confidence and instinct.
And you know, this goal reminds me of a goal that the great Van Nistelrooy once scored.
I was just about to say,
off a Rooney assist back in the day, like the 2004-05 season
against Charlton.
Brilliant. Moving on, Chelsea 2, Stoke 1. We all knew this would be a tough game for Chelsea, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first goal came about from a penalty. Hazard scoring that. Again, finding it difficult to score from a play against Stoke, which is expected. And then Charlie Adam decided to equalize before the half ended.
Can we rewind to the penalty just for a second?
Okay.
Hazard has an excellent record with penalties. This one, he like double bluffed the keeper. Did you notice that? He does the look one way, shoot the other thing. But he shot the same way he looked. So the keeper must have been studying his penalties and be like, right, he always goes the opposite way.
What Hazard does is he pauses, looks at the keeper, whatever way the keeper leans, he just puts it the other direction, which is so hard.
You know what? It's incredible body control
it is
for Hazard, because He can literally shift his body depending on, like we said, depending on where he sees you going. Other players are like, that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
That's where it's going to... Like, they make up their minds from the beginning.
My momentum will not let me.
Exactly. It's really, really entertaining.
He's petite and nimble.
And then, yeah, Charlie Adam, like I said, came up with the equalizer prior to halftime, which was... I was watching the game. I was all, like laid back on the couch looking at it. The minute that happened, I, like, bolted forward towards the TV. I couldn't believe what I just saw.
You know what's kind of...
You've seen Sullivan off his line.
Yeah.
That's why this goal is actually quite sad. Because it's better than Beckham's. It actually is better than Beckham's. But never going to be... when you do the list of best Premier League goals, it will never be higher than Beckham's. But it technically, if you look at the technical aspect of the goal, it is better than David Beckham's.
I apologize, but two things. One... David Beckham's a much-looking person. Much better-looking person, so that's a better goal for that reason.
You could have said that about anyone in relation to Charlie Adam.
But, guys, I actually think Beckham's... Pirate. The reason Beckham's is for me, is better is that it was a lob into the thing as opposed to a shot, and the keeper was way closer to his goal line. Like, Beckham's just went right under the post. Charlie Adam had so much space behind Courtois to aim.
Oh, so you're saying that Courtois getting a hand to it kind of ruined that,
a bit,
that aesthetic element.
Charlie Adam said it himself. He said that, but the thing about Charlie Adam's is two things. It's 10 yards further back. Firstly, and secondly, he actually, it's more difficult
he shot
to,
it.
To hit it like the way he did than to lob it. With
but
the
no,
lob,
he's also
control.
Shooting on, he's on Thibaut Courtois at Stamford.
But that's why Liverpool paid 10 million for him. It's like,
that was for his corner kicks.
Anyways, I think Chelsea brought on every striker they had.
Yeah.
Possible, available.
Costa came on and went back off.
Yeah. And then who scored? I think Remy scored the 2-1. Pretty, again, like all Remy goals for Chelsea this season. They've been
the last 2 weeks, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
The winners.
He's in the good positions. That's what it's
yeah. Anyway, so Chelsea winning that 2-1, keeping their top of the table position pretty comfortable. I think, you know, we say this every week. Going.
I think if they win
their
game in hand, they're about 11 points ahead or 9 points.
Something
ahead,
ridiculous.
Like
I think 12 even.
But they still have to play good teams, though. Again, it's like you said, they have to play United, they have to play Arsenal. Is that it?
They're done with City.
Tough team?
No,
they're done with City.
Done with City? Done with Liverpool?
Do they play?
Liverpool, they beat them.
Are they counting them as a good team? Yeah.
Do we check the fixtures beforehand?
No, not at all. Burnley Spurs. I think, Alex, you predicted this would be a draw. Spurs, a lot of players coming from international duty.
Yeah, this is exactly the type of game that... I think Burnley have given Spurs trouble before. Also, once you get to a Carling Cup final, your season tends to dwindle away rapidly.
That is the pattern.
Kane was made captain.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, to be fair, they didn't have many options because Lloris and Vertonghen. But Eriksen, for me...
He's not very vocal, though.
Whatever.
He's also not one of your own.
Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely a case of giving it to the guy who's inspiring.
Yeah.
And that.
Yeah.
Like,
and you want to keep for next season. You know, kind of thing.
Before he goes to Real Madrid, apparently.
Exactly.
So, I made a Citizen Kane joke in the intro, which obviously everyone knows. But I really want... I mean, I don't want him to leave Tottenham, but if he were to join Manchester City, he would literally become Citizen Kane.
That would be very cool.
That would be amazing, yeah.
Brilliant movie from the...
Just for that.
That'd be a great PR scam.
If only for that. Like,
their marketing team would go off the charts.
Ings played really well this game as well.
He didn't score, though.
He didn't know. Yeah. It was
garbage game in terms of result.
It was, it was the first 0-0 between these teams, like 53, whatever, years or 10.
Many 0-0s in the Premier League this season at all.
Very rare. Last one in kind of the top seven positions was Everton Southampton. We did kind of predict that Everton might nick this, and they did. 1-0. Again, Jagielka scoring. Filbert Jagielka, as Roche refers to him.
Yes, Filbert, my man.
Southampton are kind of off the boil. Them and Tottenham are pretty much out of the top four race.
This game made me really happy because Everton have pulled, I think, 3 or 4 in a row, like wins in a row.
Yes.
And they've been doing it by pulling a David Moyes. They have abandoned their free-flowing Martinez, everyone, we love him, nonsense football, and they're now playing the way Everton should play, which is...
The dogged English spirit on a rainy night.
Yes, exactly. And this Real Sociedad manager, genius David Moyes, imprint is still...
So Everton are doing the opposite of the United.
Explain that to me again.
Well, United went from long balls to tippy-tappy, Everton went from tippy-tappy to long balls.
Even with the highest pass percentage while playing long ball, sure.
I'm really so far.
Well, Everton are replaying long ball, but they're certainly being more direct than they used to be. But I'm not sure what Koeman was doing. I mean, maybe the international... Was Mane on international duty for Senegal?
He needs to spice it up a bit.
I'm not sure. Yeah, very nice. But
the selection was odd. He went with Long and Pella in the same team. Long, I think, played on the right. Put in a decent cross for Pella, who missed. I mean, they need to, in the summer, sort out.
Pella hasn't scored in like 100 years.
Played them because they both scored international duties. They did, probably thought they both have confidence. Let's take advantage of this.
Perhaps. But every time he brings Mane on as a substitute, he has a massive impact. So maybe he should be starting.
To be fair, Southampton could have scored a few goals in this game. Tim Howard had a great game.
That was the best save of the season. That is the best save this season.
The way he like kind of decided not to go for the initial save and wait a couple of steps.
It was like he was messing with him.
All right, let's move on to the bottom end of the table. Almost everybody got a result down there. The bottom three, Leicester beat West Ham 2-1.
What happened to Allardyce? Tell me that.
Yeah, he went off the boil a bit, to be honest.
I don't think he cares.
He's not flavor of the month anymore.
Yeah, he knows he's gone.
I think his contract is up. He knows he's gone. He did all he had to do. I think the first half of the season was, I'm going to prove I'm still a good manager.
Yep.
And now it's like, all right.
Now it's sabotage time.
F off now.
Shop window Allardyce.
I'm surprised they wouldn't keep him after that success, because West Ham had no right to be in top four.
They don't want him there anyway.
But I think just for his transfer record, like what he's done this season in terms of bringing players in, I think he deserves to continue with them. Yeah. That's true, if he brought him in.
He did. The one person that the owners brought in with Zarate, who ended up on loan at QPR.
Anyway, so Leicester got a very important 3 points. To bring him up to 22, and then also QPR beat West Brom 4-1.
Yeah,
away, a big away win for QPR, who don't win away.
Exactly, only second away win all season.
By the way, that Leicester game. Sorry, just to go back, Cambiaso, great strike.
Oh yes,
great.
Esteban.
Yeah,
I know we can say that about every game, but I was like,
oh, we will.
You old man, I did not know you have that in your locker.
We will. We're talking about QPR 4-1. Zamora's goal.
Again, I didn't know he had that in his locker either.
I don't know. Once every like few years, Zamora does.
It's like Crouch. Yeah. It's like Crouch. Once every few years, he wins goal this season.
And when Charlie Austin scored, I thought to myself, "Roy, just give him one. Give him one cap." I like Charlie Austin.
He deserves one. Him and Ings, just give him one.
Let them have a game against Gibraltar or something.
You know, if Kevin Davies got a cap, then these guys.
Exactly. Yeah.
Then these guys should have a cap.
I agree.
Barton rounding that up. So anyways, QPR and Leicester now both getting 3 points. And we did speak about Burnley, so they got a point. So everyone in the bottom three got at least something.
So they got, okay, so I think place 18 and 19 are tied on 25, 26 points.
Burnley's at 26, QPR's at 25.
So that race over there between like everyone from Aston Villa down is going to be
fun into the season.
Villa at 28 are by no means safe. And I think Sunderland are Hull are at 28.
Hull as well. They got beat by Swansea 3-1 this week. Key scoring again. He's in a big kind of run. Well, for him, you know, it's a big running scoring spree.
Yeah, he was in a good position. He fed off the strike from Shelby.
But then Bafetimbi Gomis.
There's so many good goals.
Speaking of things we didn't know people had in their lockers.
You have two of them. So
the last game we're going to talk about, which was a huge derby, Sunderland and Newcastle. Going with the pattern, Newcastle hasn't won one of these in six attempts.
Yeah.
Two draws and then four straight wins for Sunderland. And this one making it a fifth, 1-0.
And it's always right as Sunderland hire a new manager.
Yep.
They should really go petition to the fixture list, guys. Like, come on, why are you sacking them right now? This is just embarrassing.
Right.
To say that Newcastle are on the beach may be the biggest understatement I've ever
done. Oh, they're done.
Like, they're on the beach, they've got the sun cream on, the shades, they're four beers deep. Like, they're just done.
Except the circle.
Well, right, yeah.
What is up with that team? I really don't understand.
It's Mike Ashley. He doesn't care. If you go... Okay, here's how he feels. If you get into Europe, right, you're costing him money. Because you're not going to win it. But the travel fees, all this nonsense. He doesn't want to spend that money. So he actually doesn't want to get into Europe. Alan Pardew said it. They don't want to get into Europe. They just want to coast and chill out.
I really hope Crystal Palace make it to Europe now.
Oh, me too.
They could finish above him.
They're playing City tomorrow. And that's quite exciting. I mean, they have a lot of pace to exploit City if City keep a lot of possession. You never know. Anyways, guys, before we move on from the Premier League, let's do a quick goal of the week segment. I think we've all picked one, and we've all picked different ones, which is great. Alex, you want to start us off?
Sure. It's difficult for me to say this because there are a few people I hate more than Charlie Austin. Charlie Austin.
Charlie.
I dedicate that to Frank Sineski, who tweeted us about Charlie Austin.
Yeah.
Charlie Adam, even. My dad texted me the same thing. Like, I hate Charlie Adam, but. Amazing goal.
Can't even say his name
either. I know,
so much.
It's that bitter. But it was incredible. How can we look past a goal that was scored from
you know,
right.
before the halfway line. For me, just the distance alone means it's a winner.
So going with a boring option there.
It is boring.
I'm sure it was a great goal until the camera showed his face.
Celebrating it.
Yeah.
It did make everything worse, yeah.
Richey, what's yours?
I'm trying not to be biased, but I think given the skill required to score this particular goal, Wayne Rooney for me is the goal of the week.
It's that touch with the left, isn't it?
Yeah, his foot is straight, fully extended. It's about head. As high as his head,
mm-hmm.
which I do not expect from Rooney.
With those thighs, bringing
yeah.
it that high?
Exactly. Everything physically, like physics was off completely. And then he turned and swiveled and he scored a Van Nistelrooy-esque goal.
Very
and
nice.
For me, that's like a out-of-body experience for Wayne Rooney.
Awesome. That's a lot of body to get out of. But,
yeah.
Bernie, what's your option?
I'm going with Bobby Zamora. And I'm going with him because of all the people to score a goal like he scored, he's right-footed.
Left.
Is he lefty? Okay,
yeah.
So that's what he meant to do. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's running along the channel, and he has nowhere to go. The defender's blocking his view of everything.
Mm.
There's nowhere for him to go. And he just gives a little delicate lob from outside the box over the goalie, clips on the side of the bar and goes, and I thought to myself, my God,
yeah. The best part about that goal is it tricked the cameraman. I was watching it live. The cameraman was watching Zamora go down the line on a wide angle, which showed the goal, and then he's like, okay, nothing's happening. I'm going to zoom in to see the little tussle in the corner. So the minute he zooms in, the ball goes out of shot, he has to zoom back out, and the goal's
true.
Already in.
I actually didn't think he meant it until I saw it again. I thought,
Yeah.
Chris Ramsey was really funny in the interview on the BBC after the game. The guy kept asking him about the goal and like, wasn't this a brilliant goal?
Yeah.
Like, does Zamora do this in training? And all he kept saying was like, yeah, it's good to have an experienced player, old head, he can talk to the youngsters. Like,
I think he's just prepared for the interview.
Like, yeah.
I think the more shocking part about that goal was the fact that it was 3-0 to QPR in half an hour mark.
That's more shocking to me.
Away from home.
Twitter was all about QPR. You don't want to use up all your goals for the rest of the season
it's
in one game.
Special
what did you go with?
I went with, what's his name, Defoe. I watched the game live and just seeing that goal come in at like 46th minute, the Fletcher flicked it on. The ball was like just right on top of Defoe. He had to watch it go past his whole body, past
you
his knee.
Most things,
whole
most
body.
Things were above. There's not much body to go past.
That's
that,
very true. It's
quite
short. And then just with the left top corner, it just nestled in beautifully.
What did the commentator say?
The commentator was just like he couldn't. He was speechless. Like, first of all, the occasion as well. It's a huge derby. It's the biggest game. It's
then Defoe pulled a nanny.
And then
he got
very emotional.
And it was like a pileup. Just the celebration was brilliant.
This is what, second or third goal only since
third.
His transfer?
Yeah.
And
3 points, man. 3 points.
Yeah.
If that's all that gets them in this
day.
Against their great rivals.
True.
Well, what's really funny about this, like the last thing I want to say about this game is, there's a joke I've seen about Dick Advocaat and Cat in a Hat. And I've seen a lot of Cat in a Hat images going on.
Right,
and oh, God, this is really...
He does look similar, doesn't he?
Advocaat in a Hat.
Yeah.
Dick Advocaat in a Hat.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move on to Momo of the Week.
Momo
of the Week.
So our first Momo candidate is whoever was responsible for the shooting of the Fenerbahce team bus. It's a pretty morbid and sad one this time. The driver went to the hospital injured. No players were actually hurt in this, but still a pretty sad thing to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad. The Momo part is that it gets this intense in sports rivalry. Like, it doesn't need to.
Do we know who... Did anyone take responsibility?
No. The only rumors were that they're related to Trabzonspor, which is another team they're playing or whatever. Anyways,
yes.
On a more light note, and you can always count on Owen to bring those.
Michael Owen?
Yeah. Prior to the Liverpool, I think, Arsenal game, he was asked about Sterling and the situation, and who was interviewing him? What's his name? That guy with a ponytail that's on Match of the Day sometimes.
Robbie Savage.
Yeah, Robbie Savage was like, all right, so what do you think about Raheem Sterling? And Owen was like, he can get into the Arsenal team 100% hands down.
Okay.
And then Robbie Savage was like, where? Like, in what position? Where? And you could see Owen get physically upset at being under pressure, and he just blurted the first thing that came out, Ozil. He's like, so Savage was like, what? Like, Ozil. Like, okay, so you...
Even Robbie Savage.
Even
Robbie,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Like, when you make Robbie Savage look so good, you know there's a problem.
No.
And then he just said Ozil like 3 times, and Robbie Savage was like, are you serious? And Owen's like, yep, he's a better player than Ozil. And everyone just kind of like went silent, and then Owen left. Piers Morgan came on as a pundit after the game, and he was like, that guy, he knows nothing, blah, blah, blah. I called him a $1 million man because his horse won a race.
Yeah. He said we need to retire that bench warmer.
Yeah,
but what's
That's
really
true.
All he had to say was play Ozil's position and then move Ozil into the middle or something like that, and then he would have sounded smart.
Yeah.
But
or
he
just
really
like,
sounded dumb.
He will replace Theo Walcott in the squad,
yeah.
or something.
Even Robbie Savage,
any sense.
Even Robbie Savage said, "Dude, I don't think he's even better at this point than Ox." Like it
right.
was Anyways, whatever. So, Owen, Momo,
so he's made Savage and Piers Morgan look clever.
Brilliant.
That takes some serious doing.
He might be in our end of the year awards.
In La Liga this week, in Spain, where the sunlight was falling on the plains this time,
mm-hmm.
and games were played in daylight, Real Madrid blinded their opponents 9-1.
Very nice.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. I think Cristiano scored 5 goals. He could have had like 9 goals himself, to be honest.
Yeah.
Bale had a goal. Benzema had 2 goals. And there was one comical own goal.
Yeah. James, surprisingly, James played really well. Him and Modric, they didn't get on the score sheets. But James looked really good.
I'm not sure it's a surprise. I don't know if he's been the 60 million...
Right.
signing or whatever, but he's been focal to most of their
offenses.
James has been vital to that team.
Without James, they score once every 40 minutes. With him, they score once every 30.
My problem with this game was it started at 6 a.m. our time.
Yeah,
I was awake at 5:30. I think it's that football clock that we all have.
Yeah,
I don't know why I woke up. I woke 5:30 and I was like, yeah, check Twitter. What the hell?
Yeah.
I think we should be more surprised that the fans made it into the stadium, because you know in Spain that they go partying, or like the games actually start sometimes at midnight.
Yeah.
So the games just start at 10 a.m.
A
Spanish
lot of people had to not party that night to watch Madrid.
Maybe it was just full of tourists. This game is just a tourist game.
Or they just carried over from the previous night.
Which
is why Granada put in a dismal performance.
They were out partying, you're right.
And after the game,
it's like
lunch.
When you're
in
Madrid, you know, you're in Madrid, might as well go to the...
But not mention that, but the whole stadium was really white.
Yeah, everyone had shades on.
Yeah.
Anyways, the table stands as such. Barca are playing as we speak. They're drawing still after
it's
the first half,
good.
Which
it's
is surprising.
Yeah.
So Barca are 2 points ahead of Madrid right now, which is, again, Barca have a much harder run in than Madrid, to be honest. So they're still in the fight.
In La Liga, does that really mean
much? Yeah, like as in the Valencias and the
Atleticos.
Atletico one as well, but they're out of it. They're basically...
Most of them are in for something.
Just for some bragging rights. So, Bundesliga. I know Bernie was really looking forward to this game.
De Clásico.
Mm-hmm.
How was that for a German?
I didn't hear it. Can you say it again?
De Clásico.
Oh. Yeah.
See, it wasn't so bad.
No.
The voice gets deeper.
Yeah, it does.
Good voice.
Tell us about the game.
Go Gunners,
It was, you know what? Bayern Munich do not play free-flowing football when they play against Dortmund. Dortmund really, really come out and they try so hard, but they're not at that level. This season, they're way below them anyway, but when they do step it up when they play against Bayern Munich, they make it hard for them to play their passing game. But it's just... what's his face?
Hummels.
Got out-muscled by Lewandowski. Lewandowski played the ball to Müller. Müller fired a shot in at Weidenfeller, and then the rebound went to Lewandowski. But the fact that that's a difference... You make a mistake, Bayern Munich will punish you.
Yeah.
And that's all it
takes.
Well,
the fact that Bayern Munich only won 1-0 shows that it was a hard game, because right now in the league, they're like dominating 5-6s a game. So
it's a testament to Dortmund's season.
Yeah, exactly.
They try really, really, really hard this year, but they make too many mistakes. Where they are in the season is actually very much self-inflicted.
Also, on the Hummels thing, obviously a lot of rumours, most of them stupid, about Man United recently. It makes sense that you'd want Hummels, because you wanted Vermaelen, and Hummels absolutely Vermaelened it on that goal.
Yes.
He's just overcommitted. It wasn't something that is typical of him. Like, usually you'd think of him considered, you know, steps back when he needs to, but this was just...
You know, I think it was a shame for Dortmund, because Bayern are coming off a 2-0 loss to Mönchengladbach, and this was Dortmund's chance to sort of gain 3 points.
Bragging rights, at least.
Their qualification for next season has basically gone to the dupes, because there's only 34 games
for Champions
in
League?
German League. Yeah,
yeah, no,
they're running out of games.
They won't make it.
They're 10th right now. Yeah. They're 10th in the table. Bayern Munich are 10 points in the lead of the Bundesliga.
From
Wolfsburg.
Yes.
So that's pretty much done. But it's always a fun game to watch Bayern now.
I do have to admit that I have been thinking Dortmund have been the team.
How's that going for you?
So far so good. But like, Dortmund have been the team to challenge Bayern in the last few years. Before that, Wolfsburg were in the Champions League. Before that, it was someone else.
Bayern Leverkusen sometimes.
Yeah, now I feel like it's just going in cycles, who can challenge Bayern, and I feel like Dortmund are fading, and now we have Wolfsburg back there, then Leverkusen.
Yeah.
I will say next season Dortmund will be a lot better than this.
Yeah.
I think it's a blip.
Depends on their sale, to be honest.
Well,
depends on how many people
their garage sale?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, I'm right there, bro.
Yeah.
Me and Van Hal.
While we're on German football, we alluded to this last week, but we've got a former Werder Bremen player that we're going to interview soon.
Yep.
Not only Werder Bremen, but also a Canadian international. So that should take us to MLS.
Yep, let's talk about that. Toronto FC played
unfortunately,
this week. Yeah, unfortunately.
Wow.
Anyone wants to comment on that?
That was a typical performance, yeah.
Yeah, it was typical.
There's nothing out of the ordinary. Fans got exactly what they expected.
Firstly, they haven't beaten Chicago in... Actually, ever. Never beaten Chicago. So I thought, what's going to happen now? But then they went 2-1 up, and I went, oh my God.
It's going to happen.
But that's the point in which all Toronto fans fail. They should never have that hope actually going to steal the game after being up 2-1.
No, but it's Toronto FC this season are proving exactly what most of us thought would happen. They are brilliant attacking. Every time they went forward, I actually thought they're going to score. Except the ball never went to Josie Altidore. They kind of bypassed him like they bypassed Falcao.
Which is almost impossible.
And they looked great. Yeah, he's so huge. Yeah. But I just thought every time Giovinco got the ball, I mean, he is class. Yeah. I thought something's going to happen. Bradley tries too much, in my opinion. But the defending is
comical.
Worse than pub football. I think Under the Cosh FC can defend better than FC.
We can.
I'm putting that on the line right now.
We can. So. And we defend with a back two.
Seriously.
So Cheru and
Giovinco
both
opened their accounts.
Opened their accounts with goals. At 2-1, I think what happened was Chicago just dropped their mixtape and then just bam, came out firing.
Well, there was also a red card.
Oh, here's my problem. Sean Maloney is the best player in
the world.
Like, well, yeah, sure. Yeah. He's a designated player for Chicago Fire. He has a pot belly now. And Carvalho, whoever the guy is, I think, was it Carvalho? On that side, he would do step overs, and step over, the guy followed his feet. It was hilarious, and he lost him every time. I thought that he's going to score, and Sean Maloney did score.
And then Carvalho got a red card.
Yeah.
Standard.
For being on
the TFC have a red card, the game. Altidore got a red card for the USA. It just, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. So, in conclusion, Altidore needs an out-of-body experience. And Toronto FC needs some new defenders.
I think it's penalty in the first game.
Yeah, you know what? It's only been three games. TFC are eighth on the table. It could be worse.
To be fair, four games, all of them away from home.
Yeah. Yeah. The next three games, will also be away from home.
True.
That's because the stadium is under construction. They're building a whole second tier. We're all going to be at the games.
We're all going
to
be there.
Well, absolutely. Maybe not Mahoned, but...
Yeah, because you need citizenship to be there.
All right, let's move on to scouting report.
Raheem Shaquille Sterling, bruv.
This guy, this Yoshi-looking mother... Oh, my God.
It's the coffee and cake segment now. Italy.
Hey. Yeah, so Roma beat Napoli 1-0. Big game. Roma, really bad run of form. But finally won a game.
It's because it's a game that people no longer expected them to win. Pressure's off. It's against a decent team, so they can win it.
Agreed. So that's Pjanic on 25th minute scoring the goal. I mean, they're not going to win the league, but at least it's for a berth in the Champions League. Because right now they're 56 points. Lazio are at 55. So it's top three make it in...
I don't even know why you're talking about this. The only thing that's worth talking about is how Inter drew with Parma.
That's amazing.
That's it. Everyone else got automatic 3 points because they're bankrupt and are going down, obviously. And they managed to draw. That's an achievement, actually.
So did they get the 3 points or not?
No.
It's pretty bad. But yeah, Juve continue, obviously, the good form, beating Empoli 2-0. Tevez scoring again. He's having a fantastic month.
Him and Morata, it's rare that you see a partnership where both players are performing brilliantly consistently. Usually one gets a bit more than the other, but this is...
That's true. Milan, Inzaghi gets a few props, getting an away win to Palermo. Cerci and Menez scoring. Menez, again, continuing...
Too little too late, because I really don't care about what AC Milan is doing these days.
Well, you will next year, because it looks like they're gonna be sold for a billion... Sorry, did I say a billion? That's crazy.
That's a billion.
No,
you mean a million.
I forget how much it is, but there's a
billion lira, maybe.
Yeah.
There's a Chinese energy drink tycoon or something.
Okay.
And there's another guy from Indonesia, no, from Thailand, who are in the final stages of buying the club.
Right, once they find all the planes.
Yeah, and the hookers.
Cool.
So they have a proper person's test, eh?
Basically. It's going to be tough, that.
I really want the Milan fans. You know how sometimes they have banners in English? I want them to start singing in English. Take me to Churchy.
Okay, I can't close it. We're done.
No,
we're done.
No way.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.